Do you know that God loves you today? Amen. There is such a mighty revelation that we need to make sure that we understand, continue to remind ourselves of His great love for us. And we know from the prophecy spoken from Isaiah about the coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to focus on one aspect of this prophecy this morning. So let's go ahead and open up with prayer. And then I want to read this prophecy and then share a few things with you. And I've just simply entitled this morning, For Unto Us / Bethlehem. For Unto Us / Bethlehem. And you'll get an understanding of why I've titled this. Father God, we thank You. Number one, we thank You for Your great love and the display of Your love, Lord God. When the Word became flesh, when Jesus took on all those promises, Lord God, that You said what the Messiah would be, what the Christ would be, spoken of, Lord God, as the Redeemer, as the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. That one passage, even in Isaiah, it says that it pleased You to put the iniquity of us all upon Him. Father, we are so grateful for You and Your love. We're so grateful, Jesus, for Your desire to take on a human body and to journey this planet as we journey this planet, to walk and experience the good, the bad, the ugly, the terrific, and the tragic. That You experienced all of life. It was the only way for You to become a sympathetic, a compassionate Savior for us. For You to walk in our shoes. For You to experience life as we experience life. And then for You, Lord Jesus, to provide healing and salvation and restoration and light and truth and hope for those, Lord God, who are willing to hear the truth about Yourself. And I would just ask that You help me this morning share some of the things that You have placed with inside my heart. And also, Father, for those that this time of year may seem to be a little bit difficult, for whatever reason, maybe the loss of a loved one, maybe it wasn't a good time of year growing up and they just went without, or maybe something horrible happened this time of year. Lord, You are the restorer of all things. That we want this time of year to be a glorious time of year for every person, Lord God. And so it doesn't matter where a person's at, where they're at in their walk with You, that can all change here this morning, Lord. And we welcome Your presence. We welcome Your love. We welcome Your peace. We welcome Holy Spirit revealing to us, Lord God, the manifestation of Your love, Jesus Christ. So I just thank You, Lord God, for Your ministry ahead of time to each and every heart right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, For unto us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder. And His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Hallelujah. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, speaking of that which was to come, and even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. For unto us, it says, a child is given, unto us a son is born. For unto us. That's the part I wanted us to focus on this morning, the unto us. For you. God did all this for you. This week, as I was doing some repairs around the church here, walking around all grody and dirty, a guy is driving by, Alfred, on his bicycle. And he just stops dead in his tracks. Are you a pastor? Yeah. And so I went and had a word with Alfred. And Alfred was looking for some bread. Alfred was looking for some money. Alfred was looking for something to eat. Alfred was looking for a way of getting some transportation other than his bicycle. And as I began ministering to Alfred and sharing with Alfred the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, Alfred, like it says in Acts chapter 3, there was a man who was lame from his mother's womb, and he was begging for something also. He was begging for alms. He was begging for help. And remember when Peter and John went before him and went by him, they were on their way to the temple for the hour of prayer, and he hears this guy begging for alms, and Peter just looks at him and just fixes his eyes on him. Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I give unto you. And at this time of year, or any time of year, each of you that know Jesus Christ have something to give somebody else. They, like this man in Acts chapter 3, the lame man, this guy Alfred, he wasn't lame in the way that he was able to walk, but he was lame in his spirit. He was lame emotionally. He was lame in his outlook of life because he had experienced some things in life. And I also found out he was a backslidden Christian. And he had experienced some things in life and in the church where he felt that he had reason to be in that condition. But you know, God knows all things. And if we'll be sensitive to the Lord, he can speak through us prophetically to a person. And even though this guy was like this, before we were done, he was able to get his hand just a little bit in this position. Just a little bit. But a little bit is a whole lot more than just this. And you might say, well, what do you mean just a little bit? Well, I was able to share with him the truth that is in Jesus Christ. I was able to share with him that his heart can be broken no matter who it was, whether it was in the church or out of the church that brought brokenness within your life. That Jesus Christ is the restorer of broken lives. And that he can heal every broken life and every broken emotion and everything that a person faces. And he was still looking for this. Okay, shut up and give me, shut up and give me. And I was like, Lord God, you're going to have me continue to minister until the hand goes from this to, I need to listen what you have to say. And he got to a place where he was listening. His hand still wanted this, but it was open to hear. And I began to minister and share with him. I believe that the Lord laid upon my heart the things that he needed to share, that I needed to share, and that he needed to hear. Yes, I did give him something. And it wasn't so much thank you for what I gave him. It was thank you for what I ministered to him. Amen. To get him to begin seeing that even in his present condition, that he maybe have been lame spiritually, that God has an answer for his life. That no matter how the pain was brought into his life, that Jesus Christ bore that pain. That no matter how the brokenness came in, and no matter how many fingers he was pointing at. Because sometimes I think we are on the other side of that pointing at times. Why I'm broken, or why I'm this way. Hey, listen, all those whys were nailed to Jesus on the cross. Okay, we may feel we have an excuse or a right to be angry, but Jesus Christ took that upon himself so we could be released. As you've heard me say, so we could be forgiven and learn to forgive, learn to release, learn to pardon, learn to receive the liberty and freedom that Jesus Christ has secured for us and secured for that other person also. And so as I was ministering to him, and I was thinking about that afterwards as he departed and was waving and went away joyful, this morning in intercessory prayer, toward the end there, or sometime during the prayer, that truth about the Canaanite woman or the Syrophoenician woman came to me. The Gentile. Now you know that Jesus' earthly walk, when he walked here in the flesh, he only came to the house of Israel, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that his ministry wasn't yet to the Gentile nations. And a lot of the people that received ministry, most of them all that received ministry, were those from Abraham or the children of Abraham, right? And so here comes this Canaanite woman. She's a Gentile woman, and she has a demon-possessed daughter. And she's wanting that daughter set free. And this is part of the conversation that takes place with this woman and Jesus. Verse 26 of Mark chapter 7. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. In other words, she was a Gentile. A woman that had no covenant with God. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Any of you been asking Jesus for a lot of things? Needing something from Jesus? Jesus said to her, "Let the little children first be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Man, what a slap in the face. You know, to think of here speaking of the children that get to sit at the table and then to be referred to, because Gentiles, or those that were out of covenant with God, were also referred to as dogs. In other words, we're sinners in need of salvation. Okay? We're without God, as Paul was saying in Ephesians chapter 2, without God, without a covenant, without hope, basically lost, in need of a Savior. She answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And the reason why I bring this up today, because we're going to look at a moment here. We're going to look over Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look. Every one of us here, everybody here knows the town that Jesus was born in. What town was Jesus born in? Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. And I want you to remember that Bethlehem, the place of Jesus' birth, the city of Jesus' birth, means house of bread. And a lot of times, we know this time of year brings forth the emotional time when Jesus came and the manger scenes. I have a manger scene. But we have to also remember that that time was just a very short period of time, that it was necessary, as I said in my prayer, it was necessary for the Son of God to take on flesh, to become a human being and to live this world, and to live in this world as we would live in this world and as we do, and the things that we experience, to go through its highs and go through its lows, to go through its triumph and to go through its tragedies. He experienced it all. But isn't it wonderful that he was born in a place that was called the house of bread? The house of bread. And isn't it also wonderful in John chapter 6 that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And he was talking about he is the bread that came from heaven to earth. And isn't it wonderful and fitting to know that he not only became the bread of life, but he also came to the place called house of bread. There's so much spiritual significance here. And this woman, and all she was asking for was a crumb. Just crumbs that fall from the table that even the puppy dogs and even the dogs that are underneath the table eat the crumbs. If you were to take a piece of bread from the table and put it under a microscope and look at it at a cellular level, and if you're able to take a piece of that crumb on the floor and put it under the same microscope and look at it at cellular level, it's still the same. Because whether you're eating from the whole loaf or whether you're eating from the portion of the loaf, everything that you need is in Jesus Christ. No matter how much you eat or how little you eat. When you have a truth of God, you have all that you need at that moment. And she was just saying, I may not be able to sit at the table right now. And I may even be a woman who's without a covenant. But I also know that you're the creator of all things. I also know, I've heard of this Jesus. I've heard that he does wonders. That's one of his first names, and you shall call his name Wonderful. And I've heard of his wonders. I've heard of his miracles. I've heard of all the different things that he has done. And I just can't help but to believe that you just didn't come for one segment of people, but you came for all people. And Jesus saw that magnificent faith because the covenant, the new covenant, would open up to both Jew and Gentile. And she just got a foretaste. She got a foretaste of the new covenant that God promised to the children of Israel. The new covenant promised to them was going to be a covenant for all people, regardless of how you view yourself or regardless of what somebody may say about yourself. Some of you may be regarded as nothing. Some of you may be regarded as something. Some of you may be regarded as, I feel hopeless. Some of you may have great hope today. But the same morsel of bread that gives a person hope gives hope to the hopeless. The same person has received anything of Jesus. If you don't feel love today, there's a morsel, there's a portion, there is something of Jesus Christ where you can feel love today. There is something that he's wanting to communicate to us as Jesus being, not just born in Bethlehem, not just born at the place that is called the house of bread, but Jesus Christ is the house of bread. And his door is open to all who call upon him. I would just like to read from Luke's gospel real quick here. In Luke chapter 2, I just want you to hear this. I'll start with verse 6. Actually, verse 4, because it gives the name Bethlehem. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, the house of bread, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son. Now the word of God says there's another thing that was firstborn also. We are told in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one ever to experience as not just the Son of Man, as the Son of God, as the Son of Man who died for the sin of the world. And that body was placed in a tomb, and that body began, rigor mortis began to set into that body. And Jesus' soul and his spirit was separated from his body for how many days? 3 days and three nights. And there was a time where the Word of God tells us that his spirit and his soul were reunited with that body. Not like Lazarus. See, Lazarus' body was raised from the dead, only to die again. But when Jesus' spirit and soul was reunited with his body, yes, Jesus rose from the dead, but he resurrected from the dead, no more to die. No more to die. And so we have a resurrected Jesus with a life, with a truth, with bread, with sustenance to give to every single one of us so that we can partake not just of a bread of life as in a natural or just a bread of life of salvation that we all need to come to, but there's an ongoing living bread of life that he wants us to partake of, that he wants us to receive, not just to eat and receive, but to become like. Because the Word of God says in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, he wants himself. He wants the very presence of himself, the reality of himself, to become real within you. See, we know that Jesus was birthed at that place. And we also know that Jesus became the bread of life. But every one of you who have partaken of Jesus had a spiritual birth. You see, he was born there and Mary brought forth Jesus Christ. And we know from 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus was also the firstborn from the dead. So that you, which number are we that have been born again? Could you be 10 billionth? There are so many people that have come to know Jesus Christ. He was the first. How many of you? What number are you? You know, it really doesn't matter what number or when I came into the kingdom. It's just that I'm a child of God today. Amen. And as Jesus Christ became the bread of God, and Jesus said, whoever eats this bread that came from heaven to earth, whoever eats this bread shall never die. And he has a truth. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, then you can be born of God today. And those of you who know Jesus Christ today, who have partaken of that bread, he wants you also to dispense the bread that you've been given. He wants you not just to be partakers of that bread, but to feed others with the bread of life that's in Jesus Christ. And so we have to realize that this season, we remember the physical location, but we remember who Jesus became, the bread of life that came from heaven to earth, as it says right here in John chapter 6. He says this about himself. In verse 33, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world." Who comes down from heaven. The moment Jesus came forth from that birth canal of Mary and took his first wonderful, beautiful breath. That the Son of God has taken on human flesh so that he could be with you, so he could understand everything that you go through and everything that you face. The Lord knows everything that my precious sister here has been going through. Amen. And everything that she's been facing. And all its difficulties and all its struggles and sometimes the whys and I don't understands and things like that, that he's right here with her. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. And at times we don't have the answer for everything, but we don't let go of our hope in Jesus Christ, of who he is.
Don't need the answer.
Because he is.
Yes.
And he's everything to you right now. And whether this sister here is struggling or any of you are struggling, there's a presence of Jesus right here to meet every need. He's here right now. And he loves us. And each and every one of you that have partaken or fed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the ability to feed somebody else. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. Like me, engaged in a project. I'm running between buildings, running wires through the attic, doing all this stuff. Hello! Hello? Wait a second. When someone is trying to get your attention, everything needs to go into second place, and you need to put him first place.
Amen.
Remember the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. What did they lose? First love. Because there was something else that began getting priority in their life. Something else that began first place in their life. They were very easy to get. Are we easily taken off path? Are we easily taken away? Do we easily come up with an excuse as to why something can't be done? Or do we find ourselves making excuse as to why I am who I am? Or it was because this person did this. At times, I'm not saying that these things haven't happened to you. I'm not saying that they haven't happened to you. But they don't have to define you. They don't define you. And when you keep Jesus as the supreme love of your life, and you're finding yourself, you're willing to yield to him when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. You're willing to love. You're willing to feed the bread of his life to another life that is hungry. Even if they're asking for a different kind of bread. We are those to give out what people need. Freely you have received. Freely you are to give. Amen? And this is what we have to remember. That as Jesus came to Bethlehem and Jesus actually became the house of bread. And Jesus has become our bread. I want you to also know that in the house of bread or in the Lord Jesus Christ, every provision is met. Every need is met. Whatever a person has need of, there is a promise of his provision for every area of life. And you may say, well, what about this? Or what about that? There is no lack in the Father's house. There's no lack of bread. Whatever the sustenance is that your life needs, there's an ample supply. Because Jesus said, I came to give you life, not just squeakingly, not just a little taste of it, but he's saying, I came to lavish it upon you. He says, I came to give you life and life in its abundance, life in its fullness. So at times, well, we may think that we're still that Gentile woman. We may still think that we're just only deserving of the crumbs of the table. And God has to renew our mind to show us our place in Jesus Christ, that we now have a seat at the table. We have a seat at the banqueting table. We have a seat in His presence. You have a seat with the Lord, not crawling under the table on all fours like a dog does. But He says, sit with me. Commune with me. Because we also have to remember that this house of bread is also like the last church in the book of Revelation, the Laodicean church. Because Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, as many as I love, I rebuke. And they needed some rebuking. He loved them because He needed to bring a correction in them. There was a belief that they had. There was a condition that they had. They thought that they were all okay. They thought that everything was going well. And Jesus is like, whoa, this is what you think, but this is what I know. And He brought a correction within their life. Was it a correction just to spank them, to make them feel bad? Oh, as many as I love, I rebuke. Is that the place where He wanted to leave them with? No, Revelation 3:20 is where He wanted to leave them with. Because we have to realize that Bethlehem, the house of bread, and Jesus Christ becoming the bread of life, and us partaking of that bread, coming into salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and becoming children of God, and that we also become feeders of others with the truth in Jesus Christ we have received. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. Because what does Revelation 3:20 say? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or if any person hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. You see, a lot of us, or for most of Christianity, they understand Jesus coming. They understand Jesus' earthly ministry. They understand what the cross has done. They understand the forgiveness of sins. They understand that they are forgiven. They understand His death and His death and burial and His resurrection. And they stay there. It's not a bad place to stay, but what is it all for? What is it all to bring us to? It is to bring us to this truth, but Father wanted a family and bring us back to Himself. So we could enjoy what so many people are missing. The house of bread or the house of fellowship. The fellowshipping with God. The personal communion that we're supposed to be experiencing with Him. The fellowship of His Son. You know, I thank God so much. I thank God. How many of you know that it's we all people need to be saved? Amen? And there's only one way to come into the house of God is through partaking of that, only that one bread, that one life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And also God has, for His children, a wonderful gift called the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we find out in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit is one to what? Just to dwell with us and to be with us. Jesus says, I'm going away. I'm going away. And you're not going to see me anymore. But don't worry. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit who will always be with you. Who will always be with you. Now, we know that the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit gives us power. And there's a lot of emphasis on power. And I don't have a problem with an emphasis on power. But I want to know the person of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God and partake of the fellowship that He so desperately desires us to partake of, then any of the display of power that is needed will be there. So I focus on the person, the presence, and the power just follows. And a lot of times we have a wrong emphasis. We just want the power instead of, if you could put up for me, Michelle, I love saying this verse. It's 2 Corinthians. It's the last chapter. What's that, chapter 13? Chapter 12? And the last verse. It speaks of three things there. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where would we be today without God's grace? Okay, where would we be today without God's divine influence upon your heart? God always influencing you. God always speaking to you. The word grace means favor. It means the divine influence upon the heart. It means God's ability, God's strength. Everything that God has that our life needs, He bestows upon us freely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without you doing anything to accomplish it, because Jesus Christ has already done it all. And what does that reveal to us? What's the very next thing it says right there? The love of God. Do all of you know today you're loved? Do you know you're loved of God? Have you received of that love of God? Are you walking in that love of God? How is your character manifesting the love of God that you believe? Is our character manifesting the one who we say, oh, I know. And it tells us that when he put his Holy Spirit within us, that we receive the love of God, so we should also be manifesting that very same character. I don't try to put on love. I'm a new creation, therefore I should just love. I should find myself in a place of peace, in a place of gentleness, in a place of compassion, in a place of gentleness, in a place of faith, in a place of meekness, in a place of believing God, because it's my nature now. It's who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's part of my makeup as being a new species, as being born of God, as being one of His children. Not to say there aren't areas in my emotional realm, and in my soul, and in my thinking that have to be renewed, that's impatient. So if there's a contradiction there, which are you yielding to? If you find yourself being impatient, you find yourself becoming anger easily, or you're upset, or you're unforgiving, is that the new creation? Or is that part of the old person that still needs to be transformed and renewed according to the Word of God? What I'm saying is don't park there. Don't make an excuse for that. Know that you're the new creation in Christ Jesus. Know that the love of God has been spread throughout your entire being. That's who you are. And that's what's supposed to come out of you. Amen?
Amen.
And this is what we're to be believing in. Don't pet that which is not of God. Don't give it, well, as you've heard me say, how many of you have said this? Well, I'm German, I'm Italian, I'm whatever it is your nationality. I lose my temper because I'm Italian. Why do we take it back to our genetics and try to blame like an Adam and Eve type of thing? I'm this way because because we want to look for an excuse instead of own it.
Right.
We're looking for an excuse instead of ownership. And then, wait a second, whoa, pastor, I don't want to own that exactly. Take responsibility, not ownership, for it. Because God now owns you. You are born after the God kind. You have a different table you eat from now. You eat from life. You eat from the place of being in Jesus' presence. And if you find yourself too much in the flesh, then what table are you sitting at? What bread are you eating? What thoughts are dominating? Sometimes we need to take thought about our thoughts. Huh? When have you stopped to think about what you're thinking about? And like, whoa, I need to stop right there. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So at times we need to stop and think what we're thinking about. And why am I thinking like that? And is it of God? If it's not of God, then get from that table to God's table. Amen. And start feasting on Him. Thank you, Jesus. It's like, pastor, this is not any type of Christmas message. Yes, it is. I don't do traditional. I do Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I'm just a Jesus man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I think every one of us need to be more so than we are, right? I'm looking at my notes. I have no idea where I'm at. I think that's so wonderful. The fellowship of His Son. He's called us into the fellowship of the Father and fellowship of the Son, trying to get us back to a place in a closer walk with God than you have yet to experience. And sometimes people, it kind of makes them, I don't understand what you're trying to say. How can we have fellowship with someone we can't see? I read my Bible and that's how God fellowships with me. I believe that's why we have instances in the Word of God where, well, let's just take it back to the garden. After they sin, it speaks of God coming in the cool of the day. It speaks of God walking. It speaks about His sound being heard. But because they were out of fellowship with God, they hid. because they found out, they knew that they were naked, and they broke God's word that they had for their life. But there was a coming, there was a recognition. There was a recognition that God's presence, that God was there. Do you have that recognition in your life that God is present with you? Do you have that knowing where the Word of God says, when I spoke earlier about the gift of the Holy Spirit, that the very person of the Holy Spirit dwells within you? That last verse of 2 Corinthians, that last aspect, it says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion, that word communion is koinonia, which also means fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Ghost, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Every one of us should be coming into a place of understanding grace or God's influence upon your life, God's favor upon your life, God's love within your life. And a lot of us have a firm grasp on the first two. But the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we have sometimes a difficulty when it comes to fellowshipping with God or speaking with God, or it's more like, remember the old phone, you know, you see some of these old movies, you know, like these old cowboy movies when the phones were first coming in and they got that box on the wall with that big, you know, thing coming out. And you got this thing here, you know, and they pull it off here and, hello, hello, hello. And they finally, you're starting to hear something. But a lot of us, we don't even have the part to our ear. We just sit there and dictate to God. We don't know yet how to hear. It's elusive to us. Sometimes it's just like, well, you know, is that God? Is that me? Is that my flesh? Sometimes people go in such a quandary that they don't even want to even look into that aspect of God even speaking to them. But we're told very plainly in John chapter 10, my sheep know my voice. We're told very plainly throughout scriptures that Jesus said, I only do those things that I see the Father doing, and I only speak those things that I hear the Father speak. Now, you've heard me say this time and time again, that I believe that the life of Jesus we see recorded in the Gospels, I call Jesus the pattern by which we follow. That if Jesus was in a place that he was able to see what the Father wanted done, he was able to hear what the Father said, that we ourselves can develop this type of a fellowship with God to get us back even to a place better than what Adam and Eve experienced in the garden. To get us back into a place of such communing with God, such breaking of bread, that remember after Jesus' resurrection in Luke 24, these two that are walking from that place where Jesus was crucified, dead and buried, and they're these two traveling together on a road to what? Emmaus. And here Jesus comes up and joins them. But it says that he blinded their eyes to who they were, and they began having this dialogue back and forth. And it says he opened the scriptures, the Old Testament, Psalms and prophets, all things concerning himself. And then it says when they went into that inn, where was Jesus made known? In the breaking of the bread. How many of us, we can go to the law, the Psalms, the prophets, we can quote from this Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. We know all these wonderful things. We know all these wonderful truths. From first words to the last amen in Revelation 22. But has Jesus been made known? Has the intimacy, has the truth become so real to you? It's as if you are sitting down with him and you're talking and conversing. This is the place that he wants to bring you to. So we're just not quoting things or repeating things or, you know, have your confession thing. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a place to grow from till it becomes a reality in you that engages in a conversation with God, referred to as our Father. Amen? Jesus is referred to as a bridegroom, and we're referred to as a what? Bride. When you think of bridegroom and bride, the greatest thing that's going to happen is a marriage and a consummation between the two. And God uses that illustration because it's the closest thing that people have is an intimate connection with one another in the natural. And he's saying, I've got something so much better, and it's a spiritual connection you can have with me that's even closer to what people on this earth think the pinnacle is, a physical connection between a man and a woman. And God says, I got something a whole lot better than that. Or a father-child relationship. And so we have this bridegroom-bride relationship. We have this father-child relationship. And when you think of the both of them, you must think of intimacy and fellowship. Like, whoa, wait a second here. Because Paul, when he refers to this in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, concerning a husband-wife relationship, he says, I speak a great mystery concerning the church. I speak a great mystery. And how many of us is it still mysterious, though? It's still mysterious. And God wants to make himself so much more personal. So it's important for us to look at this Christmas season as the natural Bethlehem, that it was required for the Son of God to take on flesh and become the Son of Man and to walk in your shoes. A lot of times, you don't know what I'm going through. Jesus does. He's walked in your shoes. He's walked in all of our shoes collectively. Everything that you've experienced, every pain, every good, he's walked in those shoes. Do you realize that's what kind of Savior you have? Not only does he know it, he's made ample provision to help you out of it. Isn't that wonderful? And for you to become part of that family of God. So Jesus became flesh. Jesus died as a result. And so forgiveness could be released into us so that we could become. What does it say in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26? For you are all children of God, what? Through faith in Jesus Christ. So we could be restored back to God being our Father. So as it says in Galatians chapter 4, so we can use our mouth and realize I can address him not just as God, not just as the Almighty, which he is, or as the judge of the living and the dead, which he is, but Abba, Father. Abba, a term of endearment. So how many of you are still in search of Dad? How many of you didn't have a good dad? Maybe you didn't even have a dad. Maybe you did have a good dad. But there's a place that we're only going to be fulfilled and satisfied in is when we come to a place of being able to address him as Abba Father. Not just knowing the house of bread, the physical location, and Jesus becoming the house of bread, and Jesus becoming our salvation, and we partaking of that bread of life. And us also becoming a Bethlehem to other people, in which Jesus uses our life to minister to other people. But to come, as the Word of God says, that you are now a temple of God. You are a habitation of God. The last couple verses in Ephesians chapter 2, you're a habitation of God in the Spirit. You become a dwelling place, you with God. I'm wanting you to look at this season from the physical location to where God wants to bring you spiritually into more of an intimate connection with him, more of an intimate walk with him, a fellowshipping with him. Is this possible? And the answer is yes. He has that for all of us. Because I dip in and out of it. I'm not perfected in this. But I know that he's my Father and I can go and commune with him about anything. And after I commune with him, after I dialogue with him, it's just not a one-way conversation. Lord, speak. The Old Testament, Samuel, remember he kept going to Eli. You know, he hears his name, Samuel. He runs to the only spiritual leader that he knows. He goes to Eli. Yes, what do you want? I didn't call you, go back to bed. You know, a second time, he hears his name called and he runs to Eli again. Get to bed, I didn't call you. And all of a sudden, like, whoa, wait a second here. Maybe God's calling him. And so what was he supposed to respond? So the second time that he came to him, he told him to respond. Next time you hear that voice, or maybe it's after the third time, maybe when next time you hear that voice, say, here I am, Lord, your servant is listening. There's nothing wrong with being a servant. Paul called himself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're children of God now. Speak, Lord, your child is listening. To know that you have, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, that you have a seat with him in heavenly places. In other words, you have an audience with God. And in that audience with God, there's something he's not just for you to say, there's something he's wanting to communicate to you. And there's some things that he's wanting to communicate to you today. There's some bread he's wanting you to partake of. There's some truth he's wanting you to receive. And he wants us to be givers of himself during this time of year, all year round. But there are people more susceptible. There are Alfreds out there all over the place. There are people out there. There's probably some people in here today. You're estranged from the Lord. We can come to church and be estranged from the Lord. You know that? We can come in and we can read our Bibles and still be far from God. Well, you read through the seven books of the seven churches of the book of Revelation. The seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Five of the seven, he says that they needed to be rebuked. They needed to repent. There was something going on within their life. Going to church without Jesus. We don't want to be part of that number, amen? So we can cultivate that during this time of the year. You can cultivate a deeper sense of knowing, wait a second, I acknowledge that you came to Bethlehem, and you came to a place called House of Bread, and you actually became the bread of God which came to heaven and earth, and you're the bread of God in my life of salvation. And I accepted you, but I accepted the Holy Spirit, and your life and your presence are now within me. And I'm learning what it means to partake of you and you with me. And I'm trying to be sensitive, Lord God, for you to use my life and give the bread of yourself to other people. But I still need for our fellowship to deepen. It's okay to say that. But are you willing to say, I need that fellowship to deepen? And what greater time of year than to stop and take inventory of your spiritual life and realize all the blessings that you have from God and the place that he's trying to bring you. He doesn't want you to be a Bible dictionary, though you need to know the Word of God. He doesn't want you to be a Bible encyclopedia, even though you can give all the different definitions of all the different words. It's important for us to do that. He doesn't want you just to be a person that is just schooled in theology and you know all about theo. And your theo God and ology, all about how to talk about him, that's important. But where is it supposed to bring you? Where is it supposed to bring me? Where is it supposed to bring us? It's supposed to bring us into that place that when we are schooled in the school of Jesus Christ, that we find ourselves moving to the place of experiencing his person, that allows us to experience his presence, that allows his power to flow. If we start getting the right order, then you're going to start seeing all these other things that follow. I don't have to seek his power when I know that I know his person dwells within me, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and I'm developing my walk and talk and relationship with God, and there's just a flow of who he is in my life and through my life to others. Amen? And this is what he's trying to bring us to. Because if I could just take this real quick, and I'm going to close up with this. In Acts chapter 2, after those group of people that were in the upper room and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we see them up there and the Holy Spirit comes upon them individually. Tongues of cloven fire above each of them. And it says they all spoke with tongues. And then afterwards they depart from that place, and there was about 16 different nations gathered, and it says all these 16 different nations gathered with all their 16 different languages, they all heard these guys from the upper room speak in their known language. The wonderful works of God. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? But then Peter gets up and says, I want to tell you why this occurred. This is which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It has come to pass. It is actually, it's a prophecy that came to pass. It started its fulfillment on the day of Pentecost, and it hasn't yet come to its full end yet. Because in the very end of Joel's prophecy, talks about the day of the Lord, or when Jesus Christ comes again the second time. So it's still in its prophecy fulfillment. Is that beautiful? But he began speaking about Jesus to them. And he's sharing Jesus with them about you. You're the ones who crucified him. And he goes on and he says all these wonderful things about Jesus Christ being crucified, dead, and resurrected. And he says, what you are seeing is the result of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross and his resurrection and sending of the Holy Spirit. It's all this wonderful truth of what Jesus has done. And they look at him and says, what shall we do? We don't know what to do. What are we supposed to do? See, Peter shared, the Holy Spirit ministered, and showed them the vacancy with inside their heart that only the bread of God could fill. And Peter just simply says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, they were hungry. They were in need, and the bread of life was given, and Peter gave the direction how they can partake and eat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, how many souls got saved that day? 3. I think it's 3. 3,000. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let's remember 3. Okay? That's a good way to remember the first one. I think the second one was 5. Okay. I'll just say, and those who gladly received his word, this is Acts 2:41, were baptized. Acts 2:41. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now look what it says that they started doing. They have now partaken of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now the community of believers are together in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. It's important we each need to have our Passover time. We each need to come and have our time when we each partake of Jesus individually. This fellowship we're going to have next is good. We need to come together and have fellowship, breaking bread, eating, getting messy, spilling stuff. It's okay, everybody. Okay, it's all right. Okay? But there's also, during that time of eating and communing, there's also spiritual language that goes forth too. There's also touch that happens. There's also a breaking of bread with together here. And it's important to have the apostle doctrine time, but we need to have more fellowship time. We need to have more small group time. We need to have time for when people have questions, they get their questions answered. We need to have time that I may say something today, it may spark something, or you may be taken off on your spiritual rabbit trail right now. Oh, I just saw this and I just saw that, and you got to keep all this I saw into yourself. We need times of expressing, I see, I'm getting, or I don't understand. You know, some people don't like that type of talk. They don't like that type of openness. They don't like that type of, well, what if I don't have the answer? What if they ask me something I don't know? Who cares? We're part of the body of Christ and someone's going to have the answer. I don't have all the answers. I'm not Jesus. And so I'm free to be in small groups. I'm free to have any question asked to me or any question to be asked there. And at times you'll find out when I don't know the answer. Does anybody want to answer what they're asking? Yeah, you just kind of look all smart and stuff, you know. So now you'll know when I say it, why I'm saying it. Be not afraid to ask. Be not afraid to share. And God wants to have this, the apostles' doctrine. He wants to have fellowship. He wants us to have breaking of bread. He wants, and then it should culminate. When you look up that last part, it says prayers. And one of the thing of prayers is the word of God has come to us. That we're fellowshipping in that word. We're breaking down that word and we're communing it. We're getting it. And we're eating it. We're feasting on Jesus, our Bethlehem now, in and among each other, right? And it's like being returned to him. And we give our prayers and our thanksgiving and our worship back to him. And then it talks about a display of signs and wonders and miracles in the next verse. Isn't that what we want to see more of also? Or is this just relegated to these people here and that God doesn't do that anymore? No, God is still in the miracle-working business, everyone. And then it says it spreads out from there. Look at verse 46. So continuing daily and in one accord in the temple, gathering together in houses of worship, in places where we meet to get the instruction of God's word and fellowship of the body of Christ. And then what? Breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor, having grace. It's the same word with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. And this is supposed to be the pattern for our lives. This is to be the pattern of our lives. So that when we leave here, that you find yourself being a Bethlehem. That you find yourself being in a place of ministering the bread of God to others. From house to house. Wherever this journey of this wonderful life takes us on. That you find yourself being one of God's bread givers. So that when you're asked in the middle of your hustle and bustle, in the middle of your life, or in the middle of you going from one place to the next, and someone calls out to you, you have a minute? Because God's going to give you an Alfred. God's going to give you someone who's got questions, or they may have a natural need, and He may want you to supply that natural need. But He wants to make sure, what good is supplying the natural need if you don't give them the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ? And so God is saying today, your Alfred is coming. Your Alfred may be here. You may be an Alfred today. And there's just like, oh, this is going on, and that's going on. I'm just like, oh man, this is so much. It's just bleh. If you've got too much weight today, then why don't you just come forward this morning as the Word of God says, come. Jesus said, come. If you feel like there's a weight on you this morning, then come. There is something that He has for you to partake of. It says, cast your care upon the Lord, for He has great concern, a loving. When you look up that word, same word, cast your care, your worries and anxieties. The same word in English, two different words in the Greek. Cast your care, your anxieties and your stress upon the Lord. Why? For He has great loving care for you. And that's what we have to realize. How many of us are carrying anxiety, stress, bondage, without realizing, I'm coming to you now, Jesus. I'm going to come before you right now. Because you know everything about me. And you have life for me right now. You're the burden bearer and the load lifter. You're the glory and lifter of my what? Head and also soul. How many of you are compassed about many things right now? Got a lot of weight of stuff. And He just wants you to just release it to Him and let Him begin ordering your life aright. Father God, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for some of these things that You have shared with our heart and shared with our life, Lord. There is so much of You. There is so much to eat of You, Lord God. Oh my gosh, You are just such a wonderful banqueting table of so many things. And we love You so much of all Your abundant provision, Lord God, that You have made amply through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so much more as the result, because it speaks of Jesus as the doorway into the fullness of who You are. And so, Lord, I'm just asking for that those here today, that anybody here that needs any type of individual ministry, Lord God, would receive even from You right now. Those that need to come back into the kingdom, that they would come back, Lord God. Those that have partaken of You, Jesus, as their salvation, they've eaten the bread of life, but yet have not received the fullness of Your Holy Spirit, that they would just ask right now and receive the wonderful promise of Yourself to have Your love dispensed throughout their entire being, Lord God, and to come even into a place closer of Your person, of Your presence, Lord God, than experiencing, Lord God, the power and reality, Lord God, of Yourself. And then You want to even take us into a deeper level yet to use our lives, Lord God, in ministry. To use our lives, Lord God, in sharing and speaking about You with others, Lord, that are so hungry. The other Alfreds out there, Lord. And then, Lord God, You say there's still another level. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit, or coming into the fellowship of the Father and coming into the fellowship of the Son, which is so aloof to so many, Lord. And I'm asking, Father, that You would begin, as You have been with me over these years, Lord God, ever drawing me closer to Yourself, ever honing in Your voice to all other voices, Lord God. And I'm just asking, Father, that nobody needs to be afraid, because you promise, my sheep know my voice. And I thank you, Father, that you and your speaking are available to everyone here present today that is in the family of God. And so we love you, Lord God. And as I said when I first started out, to every one of you here right now, just listen. God, your Father, loves you. Amen. Hear those words and know that God is for you this morning. And God loves you. And he is here right now. And so just, if you can, and if you haven't sensed it in a long time, Lord God, I welcome and accept your love to me right now this morning. I just thank you, Lord God. I know I may have been so busy. I've even been neglecting quiet time, Lord God, and personal time with you. And I don't want to ever put you second. I want to keep you always as the ultimate desire and love of my life, Lord God. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.